Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelund. You got, Corey Majors.
Notice I never say old woman.
Huh.
Why sexist. Have we never said that?
Because you're sexist.
That's a phrase that's common in the world, Kevin. Is the world sexist?
Yeah. Have we switched it to person hole cover? Don't know. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford.
This is the show we're doing today, guys.
It's a Thursday. I dated someone and I used the term co-ed and she said, don't say co-ed. That is offensive to women. And I was like, it is? I just thought that meant.
What does co-ed mean?
Well, she said it was because it's both male and female. So co-educational, which was a term that was used when they finally let women into some of the schools. And so therefore it was offensive to women. And I had no idea, but I also don't think that like history is gendered when people are like, it's herstory. And I was like, all right, never have I thought of history as having a gender.
But now you do, huh?
Yeah. I just think we should pick one. If you want it to be herstory, that's fine. It'll take me a second to adjust.
What about our story?
They story.
It's our story.
Yeah.
They story.
Yeah. They story.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. We can figure that out. All right. As long as we're throwing out nonsense, and I promise
we're just asking questions.
All right. Can I ask one more question? Then
also,
I promise.
Alec Medford's with us.
I said that.
I forgot.
Oh.
Well, but I was trying to remember.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, Cowboy stuff. I promise. Do you get upset with people in the left lane just on a regular road? I was thinking about that today because I know we talk about that a lot on the highway. Like, do you ever get frustrated if somebody is going whatever, like 5-10 miles, whatever it is, below the speed limit in the left lane on just a regular street?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a natural, the whole world understands. I'm sorry. All of America understands.
Oh, man.
That the left. Well, because they're
oddly
they
patriotic.
Drive on the other side of the road.
It may be offensive.
Not
in Germany.
What?
Yeah. I was really surprised
by that.
You
did tell us that. That's right. Okay. So some of the world knows that the left lane is the natural passing lane. You don't need a sign to tell you stuff. Most people out there ignore those signs anyway. So, yes, it is frustrating that. I shouldn't have to go from my lane, which is the faster lane, to pass around you. You should stay in your own lane.
Well, the first two answers I got were no, Kevin, because there are places on the left that people need to turn into. And then from the 817, yes, get the hell out of the way. Because I don't think I've ever felt that way. Like, I don't think I've ever been like, come on, you need to move out of the left lane. I've just been driving, living my life and stuff like that. So I wanted to know how people felt about that.
Hold on, do you drive in the left lane? And just and not pay attention?
Usually I try to drive in the center lane because I think it affords me more options for moving.
That's a regular street, only two lanes.
Ooh, I couldn't tell you offhand. I honestly don't know. If I don't have a turn coming up, I honestly don't know.
If you see somebody coming up behind you, you're going the speed limit because you drive the speed limit-ish.
Sure.
Maybe just a little bit over. But if you see somebody coming up behind you and they're boogieing, do you get over for them? Or do you go, I am in control of this street, and it's not a school zone?
I think I don't move over, but not because of I am in control of this street, but I'm just like, there's room in the other lane. If you need to get around me, you can get around
me. Drive in the right lane then, buddy.
I might be in the right lane.
No, you're in the incorrect lane. If you're in the left lane and I'm going faster,
I did not say
you,
I was in the left lane. I said I don't know.
You need to get over so I can pass.
Okay.
Learn the laws.
From the 972, good for Germany for not driving on the Celsius side of the road. That was a big turn when they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be 38 today. And I was like, that sounds really cold, but I know it's under the different scale, so I had to look it up. But you eventually know, I got the hang of it.
Celsius energy drink is 99.9% proven to function.
Oh.
Man, looking for that endorsement early. All right, let's get to the Cowboys. Do you trust Shoddy to keep the season from falling apart? And then my follow-up question, can he actually control that? And so here's kind of my line of thinking on this. So you've already seen, like, look at some of the other coaches. Brian Callahan, fired. Mike McDaniel debating with his quarterback through the media. The Jets off to one of the uniquely awful starts in the past 90 years. Like, you've seen plenty of head coaches and teams just fighting to keep their head above water. And so Shoddy is usually, it feels like, usually pretty positive. I'm not saying he won't say constructively negative things, but it usually feels like he's like, hey, and then we're going to get right back at it and keep working hard. And so it seems like he has a pretty positive outlook. And so do you trust him to keep this season from falling apart? And A, what does that look like to you? And B, how much can he actually control it? Because, like, we talk all the time, and Bill Parcells would say, I don't coach penalties. There are some things that are going to happen in the game that I know the coach is going to get blamed for, and you're like, well, what was he supposed to do about it? Mm-hmm. So that's my question. A, what does it look like to keep this season from falling apart? And B, how much can he actually control it?
One of the things that I think I do admire about this team is they do look like they have some fight in them. While they might be overmanned, outmanned, and outplayed, they do look like they have a little bit of fight. I hope that bleeds from the ones that I'm seeing that to the other ones, and that the younger guys are like, you know what, I gotta engage myself with that too, Kevin. Nate Newton yesterday with Sean and Bobby and RJ and Peyton's and sometimes Aiden's show. He said that when Charles Haley came in, he stood up in the locker room and addressed everybody starting with Troy.
Okay.
Started with Troy and was like, the Niners think this about you. And then went around the entire room telling them all what they need to do better. And then he told Nate, you start the season good, but you finish it terribly. We're going to work out together. I'm going to be there working out right next to you, but we're going to work out together so you don't fade at the end of the season. And I don't know who in that locker room can be a voice like that, because who has the skins on the wall to do that? And now Dak's doing his thing. Dak's already being the quarterback, saying follow guys, and they are. There's got to be another person in that locker room that can do that, because that's what Shoddy needs to keep this thing from falling apart. You know as well as I do, you have to have people in the locker room that are policing the locker room themselves, holding people accountable.
Agreed.
And I think one of the things that Shoddy has done is he has built the relationships with the guys that he thinks should do that. So I understand, like, that there are other technical things that can fall apart in a game and stuff like that. For the season, though, it's keeping the locker room together and trying to figure out how to scratch and fight and claw your way into a win, and then get those guys to go, you know what? I can't leave today, even though the CBA says I'm supposed to. I got to do a little extra to make sure that I'm ready for this game so I don't get beaten and embarrassed on the field.
And by the way, and I know the CBA is very restrictive, especially when it comes to team stuff, but
individual stuff, your own.
Exactly. There are all kinds of things that you can do individually. I keep thinking about the defense, right?
Who's that guy? Who's the Charles Haley that can... I'm sorry, I know you have a place where you're going.
No.
Do you have a person? Jordan Lewis was probably that for me last year.
Okay, but think about... So, you're right. So, Jordan Lewis is gone, by the way, by all accounts, having a good season.
Yeah, he is having a good season. He's one of the best when it comes to receptions allowed.
But think about it. DeMarcus Lawrence feels like was pretty accepted.
He was a voice.
He was the guy. And when he left, it was going to be Micah time.
Yep. And then Micah time definitely changed because he was traded.
Yeah.
And it sounded like Jerry didn't believe that he was willing to become a leader either.
Okay, well, then does
it... Or do the things it actually takes to be a leader.
Does it fall to Osa?
Yes.
Okay, because can I tell you...
Tenure.
Okay, here's what's a shame.
And Kenny Clark.
Well...
Tenure in the league.
So here's what I think is a shame about this all, then.
None of those are Charles Haley.
Well, sure. But you know who the person I think could kind of sort of be in that mold is Hurt. I think DeMarvion Overshown could be the kind of in-your-face, but also positive when needed, vocal leader. But, as we've talked about many times, it's hard to be that leader when you can't play.
Man, that is a large pail of water he's already carrying.
Yeah.
I completely agree. He's got the ability... He's got the personality for it. He wants it.
Yes.
It is the biggest bucket of water that he has to carry. The most wood, as Steven was to chop wood, carry
yes.
water. He has the... We're putting a lot on him, and he's not on the field. And I don't know how he's leading from there. But yeah, no, he's a person, Kevin, that I think definitely could help Shoddy keep this thing together.
Okay, let me ask another question to go along with this then. Could you see a time in the season? I know it's not now. We've talked all about it. I think you're several games away from this. Could there be a time where Schottenheimer says, hey, Eberflus ain't the guy, and he has to have a discussion with the Jones family? I'm not going to say a power play, but a discussion. Because what I keep thinking about is Mike Nolan as the DC in 2020. You were 23rd. In yards, you were 28th in points. In those first six games, you gave up 218 points. So as bad as you think this defense is, the defense with Mike Nolan was even worse. But they stubbornly stayed with Mike Nolan. Why? Well, because he's been all these places and had all these great defenses.
And we already started,
yeah.
So we might as well finish
well,
it.
Well, what does that sound like? That sounds a whole lot like this year. And I know that they're not moving on from Eberflus anytime soon, but I wonder, could that be a power play to keep the team if he steps in and he's like, no, I know you guys have no history of firing a coordinator in season, but this dude ain't working out.
So... Remember Jared's argument to us about the way Bannister did things? And I've kind of come to agree with him on a lot of that. And it was, I'm not going to move on from a guy because I'm planting a seed not only for that player, but for other people. And I wonder if when you're a leader, you choose a direction and you go in that direction. You do make new, once new information's come, but you have to exhaust everything before you change directions. Have they done the across the hall meetings yet? It's not bye week yet. That seems to be the time whenever the Cowboys, at least McCarthy, would do that. And I wonder if Schottenheimer's kind of in the same mold. All right, let's take a second to reset, revisit everything we've done, and what can we do to fix it? Because we got caught up in the middle of it. I think that Schottenheimer, if he wanted to, could, but I think he wants to exhaust every option first.
Which makes sense.
And those might be important. Because right now, with this beginning of the season, Schottenheimer's main goal has been, I got to focus on keeping this group, building this culture still, and I got to focus on my offensive game plan. He's the defensive coordinator. I can't bother with him right now. I need to let him do his job. Now, you have to do your job better.
Right.
But I wonder if at bye week, they sit down and go, what are the problems that you're seeing, Eberflus, and how can we correct them? So I think that that's where I would probably be. But did Jerry hire Eberflus?
I think
it was a
cooperative effort.
It's always a cooperative, so nobody gets blamed, right?
Yeah. So I, you look at, you've seen Russell Wilson, who's not even starting anymore, play his best game in several years. Caleb Williams, career day against the Cowboys. Jordan Love could do whatever he wanted. Bryce Young looks like a quarterback that maybe you can build around. Now I'm worried, what are you going to make Jaden Daniels look like? Bo Nix look like? You might make Kyler Murray look like he's never even heard of Call of Duty. And so that's what I'm afraid that you're going to see over these next 3 weeks going into the bye. And I understand it's maybe it is unfair that 6 weeks and there's a lot of season to go and everything like that. But is there? Because in 9 days, you're essentially going to be halfway through the season. So every time, and this is why we challenge Steven on it on Monday, every time you hear it's early in the season, it's this, it's that.
And you're afraid of a portion of the schedule, too.
Yes, yes. You haven't even gotten to that part. And so that's why I was curious y'all's thoughts. Because like I said, in 10 days, you're more or less going to be kind of halfway through the schedule. If you think that's closer to the Arizona game going in the bye, I know it's a little trickier with 17 games. But that's what I wonder is, how does this season stay together? And could you see a scenario where this team goes 6-10-1, for example, but you don't feel like the season fell apart because you're like, man, I saw lots of progression from this person, this person, this person. I know we still stunk, yeah, but dude, I didn't think the season fell apart.
That's actually not a bad practice for us to do. If this season ends up at 6-10-1, who are the ones you need to see progress? Because Ezeraku's one of them.
Yeah.
I don't think about Kenneth Murray.
Maris Liefau is another one.
I would like to see Osa's leadership and vocal leadership grow.
Okay.
You know, like, I think that might be a good practice segment at some point this year, maybe in the bye week, or maybe right now. Let's do it right now.
No, well, okay. Hey, well, let's think about this a little bit more.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, I'm with you. That might be a game-by-game analysis where you're like, hey, because I'm not kidding. I know it would be weird to get to this point, but let's say you did go 6-10-1. But you end the season and you say, Tyler Guyton is our left tackle. I feel good about Tyler Booker. Maris Liefau and Donovan Ezeraku look like they are locked in as high quality starters.
And
do you make of this season?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Wouldn't you feel that it was the head coach's first season, and he has a lot of information to run with next year?
And the talent just wasn't ready yet, but maybe they're moving in the right direction.
Wouldn't Jerry just love that? Look, guys, we grew. It was a development season.
I get it.
It was as Steven said, it's not a finished product. We still got room to improve.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who do you fear on the Commanders and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? We will do that next right here on The Fan.
4th and 7 here. Commanders just going to go with 1:14 to go. It's Daniels, pressured, floating one for the corner. Debo Samuel, he's got it. That's the exclamation point.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Who do you fear on the Cowboys and where, excuse me, who do you fear?
Man,
on the,
I fear
everybody
Kenneth
who
Murray,
plays defense.
The secondary.
Jack Sanborn.
I fear Dak for
different reasons. Who do you fear on the Commanders and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Although now that feels like a segment we are going to need to do. Who do you fear on the Cowboys? And I just want to touch on this as well on the Cowboys front. From the 214, Osa needs to be traded. He's undersized, not worth the contract. He doesn't even get sacks. Okay, you can't. Like, if you don't like the contract he signed, that's a different conversation. But because of the way guaranteed money and signing bonuses and stuff like that are stacked in the NFL, you could trade Osa and it would really just torpedo your salary cap. And so that's just not a thing. If you don't like the contract, fair enough. If you're like, I really wish they wouldn't have signed him, like, that's a different argument. But you're not going to be able to trade him anytime soon.
I will openly say I do not want to trade him.
Sure. People will say that about whenever a player gets signed. They said right after Dak got signed. And I was like, you can't do that.
I do think if you can get some really tough edge pieces. And Micah, I'm sorry, you had one in Micah. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to have somebody that has the size to play the run and can get a Reggie White type, a Max Crosby type. You know, like that. I think if you get that, it does make Osa look better in this defense specifically. But that's a personnel thing. We'll have to wait for that.
Now, on the Commanders front, I feel like we should probably start in the wide receiver space. We talked about Brown going on the injured reserve yesterday, Terry McLaurin being back at practice. And look, if you're going to use the same level of optimism for the Cowboys, where Booker, Lamb, Turpin were all like at least back out there, and I know Schottenheimer's like, hey, look, I can't totally 100% say it, but CeeDee Lamb's going to play. Then I think you have to use that same level with Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin has missed the last 3 games. He hasn't played since September 21st. He was back out there limited as well. And I know Dan Quinn had said yesterday morning that the plan was for Terry McLaurin to practice this week. Now, today will be a big day for all 4 of those players because, again, going back to something that Schottenheimer had previously said, it's not necessarily the work that you put in that practice. It's how do you feel afterward. And I think today will be a big day, and I feel like Mickey would agree with this, to see how all of them, the 3 for the Cowboys and then McLaurin, how they responded to being back out there on the field and how much work they can do going forward. But it looks like it's trending in the direction of Terry McLaurin at least being able to play. What that looks like in terms of snaps, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's clearly somebody that normally you would fear. I know slow start for him and then the injury, but that is normally somebody I would fear as an offensive weapon.
Yeah. Debo, because yards after catch, he's good at.
Yeah.
But again, you know, the cue that's next to him, his name, I think he's always questionable because he always seems to be injured.
So I think he at least moved in the right direction in terms of he got out on the field. I know the heel has been bothering him, but he got out in the field against the Bears Four catches for 15 yards, nothing earth-shattering there. But the point was he got back out there, and so I understand why he would still be listed as questionable. But I'm going to say right now, I think both of them are going to be a go for this game.
I think Zach Ertz is also somebody who, like, is he like 50 at this point? He is old.
52, maybe.
Okay.
No.
Let's check up on that just to confirm. But
not
he,
to confirm.
He's one of those guys that he's hurt the Cowboys over his entire career over the middle. He's
34.
34. That's basically 52 in NFL years.
Okay.
He's become more of a relevant target. I know, like, there were a couple games where he just did not exist. Mariota's the quarterback.
Right.
Jaden Daniels comes back, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, he's back in the game a little bit. So because I think the secondary struggles so much and these linebackers are in such a tough situation, I think he's going to be able to find some places. Although that zone is kind of a little unique right now. But I think Zach Ertz is one of those guys that concerns me a little bit. And I think Luke McCaffrey can be a sneaky silent killer for this
team. All right. I am glad that you brought up Luke McCaffrey, not only because he went to Rice, not only because he's the younger brother of Christian McCaffrey, but he doesn't put out eye-popping stats, except for literally the stat that decides the game is who scores the most points, and he has a touchdown in three of the past four games. Now, what's really interesting about that is, first of all, good for him, but also he didn't get into the end zone in his first 19 games.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden, they're funneling the ball to him in these kind of short yardage situations. And so keep an eye out on that in the red zone. And actually, probably in the red zone is not even a fair depiction of it. Look at it. Look for him in goal-to-go situations. That's why I'm really glad that you brought up Luke McCaffrey. He won't stat you to death. He won't reception you to death. But look for him in those goal-to-go situations, because I do think that he's been effective, although I know he had a lengthy touchdown against Chicago, and that was his only target. And so that's the thing. Like, you might not be game planning for Luke McCaffrey, but when he got his one target, what happened? 33-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, well, crap. And I know that didn't swing the balance of the game because they ended up losing, but there were a lot of other things at play that kind of factored into that. And I know...
Do you fear Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
All right. Okay, fine, I guess.
Okay. So here's what I fear about Jaden Daniels. What we just talked about in the last segment. It feels like, maybe not Justin Fields, actually maybe not Jalen Hurts either, but the Cowboys have elevated several quarterbacks already this season. And Jaden Daniels, his completion percentage is down 7 points. That is a massive drop off. Part of it is because he was suffering from some injuries. Part of it is because McLaurin was out. Debo Samuel has been banged up. We already talked about Brown. I am worried that the Cowboys defense is the antidote to all of these quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm afraid that you're going to see a 70% completion day, maybe 75% completion day from Jaden Daniels. So, yes, I do fear him, and he can run if need be.
Yeah, and, I mean, you saw whenever Jalen Hurts didn't want to throw downfield.
Yes.
He did whatever he wanted against the Cowboys defense.
Exactly.
Because their defensive line couldn't stay where they were supposed to be. Now, I don't want their defensive line to be stagnant. Like, that's not what I want, but I want those gaps filled and the places taken care of so that doesn't happen. So that's for me, the offensive side. I feel like we pretty much covered the entire scale there.
Okay.
Do you have a different one on the offensive?
I do want to move over to the defensive side, because like we said, who do you fear? But also, where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? And I think there is a very distinct part where the Cowboys hold an advantage here. But if you want to throw out players first, let's do that.
Frankie Louvu.
Okay.
I feel like he was everywhere in the first game against the Cowboys last year. And I was just like, what the hell, dude? He's just doing everything right now. Preston Smith. That defensive front, actually, those front seven are fast. They can get to the quarterback. Now, Dak's been doing a very good job of getting rid of the ball quickly.
Agreed.
But that group right there can create some problems for Javonte Williams, which can create problems for their play action.
Now, let's stay on that for just a second. Through six games, The Commanders have 18 sacks. That is sixth best in the NFL.
Okay.
So I know you listed individuals, but then you looped it back into the front. Well, the front has been very effective at getting to the quarterback. However, not so fast, my friend. If there is one spot where I do believe the Cowboys might hold an advantage, or if you're so inclined, you might look at the over-under and be like, this feels like a very high-scoring game. Washington gives up a ton of explosive plays. They are 30th in the NFL in giving up explosive plays. Now, don't worry about where the Cowboys are. They've given up 46 plays already this year of 15 yards or more. So what are we talking about? 7.5 a game? 7.5 plays a game of 15 or more yards. Well, what have the Cowboys been remarkably good at this year? Well, you know what? Dak leads the way with most quarterback explosive throws this year. Okay, so let's just use common sense. Washington is terrible at giving up explosive plays. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are literally the best from a passing perspective of putting together explosive plays. I think you have the opportunity. I don't think anyone would be surprised if this turned into a track meet, but I think you might have the opportunity to hang in a track meet because of that.
Kevin, I don't know if you have this number. Do you know the top 10 explosive plays teams?
I don't.
Okay, because are you willing to bet that Green Bay is in there?
Yes.
Are you willing to bet?
Green Bay is in there.
Are you willing to
bet? Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Apply. Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet that Atlanta's in there.
Do you know the answer to this?
I don't. That's why I was at.
Because I think about that Carolina game, and I'm not so sure about that.
Okay. And I
will look into that.
I feel like Green Bay, I feel like Atlanta might be. Chicago beat us with explosive plays. And those are the three losses for Washington. And I wonder if those teams, if that's part of it, and then their win. So if they're giving it up to teams that are good at it, and the Cowboys are good at it, then that could definitely be a huge benefit for you. You might be dead on right there.
And by the way, somebody said, hold on, if they're 30th in giving up explosive plays, doesn't mean they're good at defending it. It's not stacked that way for these purposes. You'd be first if you were the best at giving up the least offensive plays. So if you would prefer me to change the terminology, they've given up the third most explosive plays. So no, they are very, very bad at it. And so here's the other thing. They don't force turnovers. All right. Now, the counter are.
Sorry, I found
it. Do you have it. The answer?
Okay. The Bears. It looks like the Bears are at the top.
Please don't tell me that every single team.
I'll come back to this.
Okay. Because I was really worried you were going to say the Bears, the Panthers, the Packers.
Packers are at the
Eagles. And I was going to be like, well, then I don't want to. No, look, the Cowboys are terrible at giving up explosive plays. I'll readily admit that. But another thing to watch out here. I know we always talk about the turnover battle. The Cowboys have been a lot safer with the ball the last couple games. But they haven't forced a ton of turnovers. Washington hasn't forced a ton of turnovers either. Only three turnovers forced in six games. So this does very much feel like it could be that game where the one turnover swings the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's another thing to keep an eye out on.
That was Anthony Spencer, that's the last night on the Cowboys crosstalk. It was just consistently turnover battle is the key.
And when
players believe that,
yeah,
like that, if they get a turnover, they believe they're going to win.
And look, and this might be a unique game in terms of it's not just that you need to win the turnover battle, but maybe it'll end up being the turnover battle's 1-0. You need to be the team that gets that one if you're going to win this game. Then again, Washington.
And then take advantage of it, too.
Yes. Yes.
Don't let it go, don't let it slide by.
I agree with that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Will one of these teams break their title drought? Next on The Fan.
Here's a high fly ball off of the bat of Jimenez that's carrying well. Robles turns and watches it fly. It's the nine-hitter, Andrés Giménez, of all people, giving Toronto the swing that it desperately needed. It's tied at two.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. So that was part of an offensive explosion that kickstarted a 5-run inning for the Blue Jays. This is their second 5-run inning this postseason. Going into this postseason, the organization had only done that 4 times ever. And that includes back-to-back World Series titles. They'd only done it 4 times. So they murder the Mariners in a sports context. 13-4, which makes that series 2-1. But also in the championship series, that makes the road teams 5-0.
Okay,
which is weird.
Which is what the Rangers did.
That is true.
Didn't I tell you yesterday? I felt like this could be kind of like the Astros Rangers series. Toronto, because these two teams can hit the crap out of the ball.
Yes, they can.
They can tear away real fast. It did look like Kirby yesterday, Kevin, on a couple of those home runs, was turning around going, how the F do they know what I'm throwing? Like that Vladdy home run, that it was a breaking ball.
Hold on. You said that Vladdy home run. Mm-hmm. Do you mean this Vladdy home run?
Since 2010, Vlad Jr. sends a high drive to deep center field. Rodriguez, it's gone. First pitch of the fifth. Vlad Jr. launches a solo shot. Single, double, homer, Vlad Jr.'s back.
Yeah, that's the one.
That'd be weird if it wasn't.
It was a breaking ball that was low. He looked like he golfed that one.
Who does that seem like? His dad?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You had a really good point there. But it's... He's one of those guys that I feel like whenever I watch him, sometimes he really drives one middle. But he did reach underneath and get that one. And that was the moment, Kevin, when I was like, oh, like Kirby's mad.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand how they're getting these pitches. Why would Vladdy hit a home run like that off of me?
Right.
Well, it was an impossible pitch to hit. And so that must have been frustrating. But then on the other side, Shane Bieber went out and was awesome too. So
what I wanted to kind of lay out for you guys and maybe get y'all's thoughts about what you think the World Series is going to end up being is there are so many drought-heavy teams in this playoff.
Okay.
Now, I realize that the favorite right now is the team that had just won the World Series, so the Dodgers don't fit into this. But think about it. The Guardians, Padres, and Reds all lost in the wild card round. Reds have gone 34 years without a World Series. Padres, they've had 56 years. And the Guardians, a league longest, 76 years. Then you have the Tigers. It's been 41 years for them. They are out. And so now what does that leave us with? Of course, the Dodgers, who won last year. For the Blue Jays, it's been 32 years.
Wow.
For the Mariners, and what an iconic way to end that series, of course. For the Mariners, they have played 48 ringless seasons. For the Brewers, they have competed 56 seasons and not yet won it all. And so these are some of the things at stake, which what I think is the most interesting World Series matchup is the Mariners and the Brewers. So the Mariners have never been to the World Series. The Brewers have been to the World Series once, and they didn't win. Since 1921.
When baseball began.
Baseball started before that.
All right.
Since 1921, there has been one World Series where neither one of the teams had ever won. And that was in 1980, the Phillies over the Royals. So imagine that. This could be the second time in more than 100 years if you get Brewers and Mariners, we have two teams that have never won.
I do love the concept of there can only be one team that's never won that wins. Like, I do, like,
right.
That's going to be a selling point during that series. And if we're to believe the ratings are up right now across the board
right.
for Major League Baseball. So a lot of people have a lot of interest in that. I really do like that concept. And Kevin, can you be on the team real quick? Put yourself on one of those teams.
Okay.
I don't care which team. And you know the other side. How much joy are you taking in not letting them get theirs?
Yeah.
Like, I know you were winning a World Series, but that's got to be another driving factor is like, and you're not going to get yours.
Exactly. Maybe because like, not only the joy, but nobody wants to be on the other side of that, right?
Right.
Like, nobody wants to, I mean, that obviously coming back from 3-0 was a huge deal, but that Yankees team will never forget that they paved the way for the Red Sox to break their 6,000-year...
Kevin, we lost two straight World Series.
Hey.
Do you remember? Like, we were that. We had never won one
and
lost two straight.
And I'm sure the Cardinals took a lot of love in that, and so did the Giants. But
yeah.
I forgive the Giants because we eventually got their manager, and he won us the World
Series.
Like
he told us he would.
And now Schumacher, I'll eventually forgive. That's when I'll really forgive the Cardinals. I know I should have forgiven the Cardinals when we won the World Series.
Still festering.
But when Schumacher gets us a World Series, then I'll be like, all right, I can live with this.
And then we'll hug.
Sure. If we win the World Series, I'll hug whoever.
No, I was talking about Skip.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's a hugger.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. We need to have a good year.
First interview in spring training. We'll see if he hugs or not.
Okay, yeah. I definitely don't want to just go in and
ask Michael Young first. Hugging. He'll be like, is he a hugger? And if he's like, nope, then I won't.
And then I wanted to throw this out there once again for the Mariners and the Brewers. This is just the third time in the last 35 years that two of the final four teams have never won at all. So think about it. Not only do you almost never get the matchup between two teams that have never won the World Series, even having two of the four never win it is very, very rare.
From the 573, would that be World Series Gami?
Yeah, except we would actually post it in real time. Are you
still mad at them?
Hey, I want to point something out. It's not that I'm mad at them. It's after we brought that up on our show, so many major sports websites have picked up about why the Scorigami bot is broken. And I appreciate them listening to the show for content.
I love whenever a listener's been with us and stays with us. I'm always welcoming new listeners, but I do love the Tolos that have been around for a while from the 469. If we win the World Series again, I'm going to say the F word on the radio again. Be ready. That guy was hammered, and it was awesome. And unfortunately, we couldn't play it in its entirety. But
is that the one with the video I'm thinking?
No. He's a different guy. No,
there is a shocking video from that night. Yes. That was an excited F.
Yes.
The other one was an angry one.
He was so happy he didn't know how to express himself.
All right. So this will be a huge day. Like, we talk about it with golf tournaments all the time, moving day. This feels like moving day for the championship series, because the NLCS goes back to Los Angeles, and we'll see if Los Angeles will essentially put a death grip on this thing. And then you'll wonder, are they going to lose a game in the postseason?
Yeah.
Because what an unbelievable run. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. And then we will see in the 7:30 game if the Mariners can, like, really take control of this thing up 3-1, or if all of a sudden maybe no home team will ever win in this series and the Blue Jays will even it up. All right. Couple more baseball stories for you. We talked a lot about this with the Angels, but the Orioles are expected to interview Albert Pujols for their managerial opening as well.
Really?
Yeah. I found that fascinating as well.
I'm very interested in knowing how he manages the team.
Okay.
Like, he's a former player. He has a lot of respect. He was a great hitter. Dude.
Sure.
One of my favorite hitters of all time.
Agreed.
Unfortunately, he won a World Series against us. Like, this is one of the same things. But I don't know what his style is. You know, I don't know what kind of manager he is, but he can commute. One of the things that Skip told us, he was like, I don't speak Spanish. My bench coach does.
Yeah.
And I know that Pujols can connect with both sides. So that's probably got to be an advantage for a lot of owners and GMs are like, this guy can do everything and he can get the message all the way from him down.
Now, in the pettiest baseball story of the day, it involves the Pope, which... think is objectively amazing. So the Pope is going around in the Pope Mobile. That's what it's called.
Throwing baseballs at people.
I don't think I saw.
Just humming in 95 mile an hour balls to people that are like, I did not expect that.
So somebody, I think it was actually like around the Vatican, yelled, "Go Cubs." And he responded, Han perdido.
Oh, which, my gosh. Can you say that on air?
Yes.
Okay.
Because in Latin means they lost.
Oh.
And so.
Well, I just learned a guape diem means good morning.
Oh, I was going to say a variation of seize
hopefully,
the day.
Hopefully. You she was better telling me the truth.
But I just like that we have a Pope that will engage with, like, kind of hecklers in a baseball capacity.
Yeah.
And that was his response. They lost. So, like,
they did lose.
I really like that.
How many times did the White Sox lose, though?
Oh, my God.
More?
Okay, but isn't that a fascinating thing about sports? And maybe this is a long-term, long-form topic for another day. The joy that we as sports fans have in our rival losing in a way bigger spot than we could ever even get to. You know, like, we're cheering for the Mariners to lose. But the Mariners could just be like, hey, how did your playoff run? Oh, it's the same thing. Like, if your college football team sucks, but then your rival loses a big game, like in the playoff, and you're like, oh, your team sucks. And you're like, oh, well, your team didn't even make it.
Yeah. But they've already lived through that experience.
Yes.
They're
you're
fine
right.
with it. They're settled.
You're right.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, and maybe a shocking statement from FIFA next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.